Morning, everyone. I could have carried on this morning, couldn't you? Even though our timing's a little bit out on occasion. Yeah, there's something about the name of Jesus, isn't there? Does it excite your heart? Does it cause something to leap inside of you? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear, we sang. And it reminded me this morning, I remembered again as someone put a WhatsApp on the men's group, and it was a picture of a guy called Cody Gakpo, I think his name is, and he's a Liverpool football player, and running around in celebration with his t-shirt emblazoned with "I belong to Jesus." And as an Arsenal fan, in my despondency, I thought, there's that name. I love it. He's wonderful, isn't he? Thinking about Conrad and Pauline and Kieran. The name of Jesus in that situation, the name of Jesus in the middle of a big celebration like that, it changes things, doesn't it? His name, who it represents, it changes things. And I just wanted to just read a brief story this morning about someone who discovered the name of Jesus for the first time, and his name is Nathanael, and you'll find him in the first chapter of John's Gospel. I'm just going to read from verse 43. It's a great little story. I love it. It's just a brief encounter, really, of Nathanael meeting the Lord Jesus for the first time. You'll see how quickly things progress. So verse 43, the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending and descending upon the Son of Man." It's a great little passage, isn't it? And you'll notice we get with certain disciples, you get a bit of detail about how they interact and how the Lord initially calls them to follow him. And this seems to be everything that we have on Nathanael. He gets another mention, of course, at the end of John in the last chapter. And I think most theologians agree that Nathanael is the same person as Bartholomew, who you'll read about in some of the other Gospels, and then again in Acts. So he's a key figure through the Gospels and through Acts. But you'll notice, it seems to me like when we read this little brief encounter, that Nathanael goes from 0 to 100 miles an hour, doesn't he? In a very short space of time. If you see it, it's basically just two comments from the Lord Jesus, And he goes from being a skeptic to a full believer in the Lord Jesus. It's a great little story. So let's look at the starting point here. Philip obviously says to Nathanael, you know, we've found Jesus, this man, this name, Jesus. We found Jesus of Nazareth. And it was this little bit on the end, Nazareth, that kind of threw Nathanael, didn't it? And this is his starting point. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a very insignificant town in Israel. It was a bit of a backwater, very working class, kind of looked down upon by the rest of Israel. And to some it would have been God-forsaken. You know, you hear about, you know, it's a God-forsaken town. You hear it on movies sometimes. Well, Nazareth would have been like that to many of the Jewish people. And it could also, to be called a Nazarene could have been a slur in those days. And Nathanael's thinking there's no way the Messiah could come from Nazareth. Maybe Jerusalem, maybe a middle class, higher class family, maybe from the religious elite. But Nathanael had preconceived ideas, probably thinking when the Messiah comes, he's going to be in kingly form, maybe a military general or something. But of course, as we read in the Old Testament, we understand that that is not true. But we all have preconceived ideas, don't we, about the Lord, I think, before we meet him. And I think it's very common out there that people have kind of an idea of who Jesus might be from what they've heard, what they've read maybe from other people and just from society in general. But until we meet him, we don't really know who he is, do we? And it amazes me still, just a little side note on Nazareth, it amazes me that the Lord Jesus spent 30 years of his 33 years on earth in this town, with the odd excursion into Jerusalem and maybe a few others that aren't recorded. But to imagine that the Lord spent the majority of his earthly life in this insignificant, small place, out of the way, it's amazing, isn't it? We just think, how does this make sense, Lord? But of course, God's wisdom, it's wiser than the foolishness of men. It's wiser than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Let's get the scripture right. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. To us, maybe it doesn't make sense. But what happened in this place? The Lord Jesus was there for 30 years. Was he tempted? Most certainly he was. As we read, in all points as we are, but without sin. He had a passion for the Father's will that would have kept him faithful in Nazareth, not feeling the need to go to the big city and be of more use, where he thought his ministry would be greater. These 30 years, he never considered it a waste of time. He would have been tempted very much in these areas, but his focus was to do the Lord's will, to do his Father's will. And I think there's a small lesson in this for all of us, isn't there? Sometimes we can feel like our own lives are a little bit of a Nazareth, can't we? We feel like maybe this, you know, there's not much going on. Progress is slow. We're not feeling very useful. I think a lot of us can feel like we get our sense of worth from productivity, don't we? How much we're doing. And for the Lord, I mean. But this is not the case. Can anything good come out of our Nazareth? Out of our quiet times, our times of seeming insignificance? And of course, the answer is absolutely. And if we are in his will, following him, he will work good in us. God has chosen the weak, the foolish, the despised things. Nazareth was a despised place, wasn't it? God has chosen these kinds of things. And at the end of that, of course, the aim is that no flesh should glory. It's only of the Lord. And so it is in our own lives. And I don't know, it just makes my heart, I just love him more when I read things like this. the fact that the Lord Jesus himself spent 30 years in such insignificance, you just think, oh Lord, you're wonderful. You didn't have to do that. He did because it was his Father's will, but we're so different, aren't we? We're so different. But we want that kind of heart. There's a verse that says, do not despise the day of small things, humble beginnings, if you like. We all have periods in our lives where we feel a bit useless. But it's God who's working in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure, isn't it? Let's keep our eyes on him. That's just a side note on Nazareth. But let's go on to the end of that verse, 46. Nathanael asks the question, and Philip, he just says, come and see. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, come and see. Come and see this Jesus for yourself. And there was no debate involved. Philip could have got into a big debate first. But all he could do was lead him. He could lead Nathanael to Jesus, couldn't he? But Nathanael needed this personal revelation himself. And in verse 47 he says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. And he's saying, I believe, to others around him who would have been there, he's saying, look, here's an Israelite, here's a true Israelite. And that was an amazing compliment to Nathanael. Nathanael would have been true to his Jewish faith and his traditions. He would have been, as many Jews, waiting for the Messiah, seeking the Messiah who was to come. And I wonder whether the Lord Jesus was pointing this out in contrast to many of the other Jewish leaders. There's no shortage of information about Israelites who weren't true Israelites. And we can read them about it. Many of the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees. There was nothing phony, nothing pretentious about Nathanael. But you remember a lot of these rebukes from the Lord Jesus when he's speaking to other so-called, who would have been looked at as the religious elite. He said, all their works are to be seen by men. Everything they do, it's just for show. It's just for man to see. This wasn't Nathanael. Not really seeking, but loving the appearance. This was kind of the backdrop of who the Pharisees were. Jesus described them as whitewashed tombs, respectable on the outside, inside full of dead men's bones. They liked the best seats at synagogues and at the feasts. They liked all the greetings in the marketplace. You can kind of picture it all now, can't you? Just everything that goes with that, the self-importance. They like to be called rabbi, teacher. They made long, pretentious prayers in public, on the street corners, probably with one eye open, just like, who's listening? Who's listening to these great words? And yeah, it's funny, but I don't know. There's a lesson in there for all of us, I think. There's something about public prayer. It can be such a blessing, can it? But at the same time, I've found this where you're so focused on your words wanting to make sense that sometimes you lose sight of the Lord. And sometimes I think, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm praying, but I'm really with you. But for some reason, I get distracted about what's coming out of my mouth. And it's no wonder the Lord says, get into your closet. Go into your closet and pray. Or under a fig tree. True prayer is done there, isn't it? It's done in that place where you are absolutely focused on God and you've got no other distractions. I know that public prayer is a healthy thing, but it's so important, isn't it, to keep our focus on the Lord. Anyway, this wasn't Nathanael, an Israelite indeed, who would later on become a Christian indeed, wouldn't he? He was a genuine seeker. And God answers the seeking heart. We've heard that this morning. I don't know if any of you have seen that there's a Bible Society survey that's been done recently on church attendance. I think someone might have posted this as well on the men's WhatsApp. And it speaks to us that people are really looking. There's, I think in 2018, 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds were attending church. And today, 16% are attending church in that same age group. And more of those men, young men, than young women. But there's something wonderful about that, isn't it? Your heart, I know this. It's a wide net, this survey. I think it probably includes the Catholic Church and lots of denominations. But the fact, I think it proves that people are seeking. People are looking for meaning. And one of the reasons that people are going to church is because it's a place of acceptance. It's a place where they can find meaning. But we want more than that, don't we? Is there something in you? We want them to hear the name of Jesus. We want them to recognize the Lord himself. Not just to attend church, but we want that to translate into personal revelation of the Lord Jesus. To hear the gospel, to hear the message of the love of God, to hear the message of the cross, to hear the message of freedom. To be a Christian indeed. It's my. I don't know if it excites you. It excites my heart when I see things like that. The encouragement that stuff is happening in our society. We can look around and think, yeah, we are an atheist society, but things are happening, and it's wonderful to be a Christian indeed. Verse 48. Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" In response to what the Lord Jesus has said, he's thinking, he's already got my character figured out. He already knows my personality. How do you know this? How do you know me? And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And I think this verse is packed with meaning. The words are very simple. "You were there under the fig tree and I saw you." He was probably in a private place. Maybe he was praying, maybe he was meditating, reading, I don't know. But that was a common pastime for Jewish men. They would often find, because of the shade, I guess, a fig tree, and they would sit and read and pray. He would have been somewhere private, possibly. But these words, "I saw you," I don't believe, you might think I'm looking into this more than I should, but I don't believe this is, you know, "I saw my neighbor in Tesco's today." It's just kind of an acknowledgement that they're there. I believe when the Lord looks at us, it's with a look of love, isn't it? There's something deep and meaningful. And I wonder whether this came across when he said to Nathanael, "I saw you." More than just, "I know what you're doing right now. I saw what you were doing." And obviously this kind of leads to, well, this man, Nathanael's thinking, this man knows all things, because no one else would have known I was there. It's his omniscience, isn't it? His all-knowing. But I think there was something more. There was something of the love and tenderness in his voice, where Jesus said, "I saw you." It's wonderful, isn't it? When God looks at us, it's with love and a desire for relationship. He's not just acknowledging that we're there, like we do with each other quite often. It's always with love. It's always with a desire. "I saw you, and I love you, and I want to know you." It's deep and meaningful, isn't it? He knows where we are and what we're doing at all times, doesn't he? He sees us in our best moments, our worst moments, and he loves us. And even before we knew him, he saw us. Jeremiah says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were just saying how before they met the Lord, they were married many years before. And he was just saying how when I sing that song, All My Life You Have Been Faithful, they look back, as a couple, look back on the years they spent together before they knew the Lord and thought, he's been absolutely faithful right through that period of time, kept them together all of those years. And it's a wonderful thing. We can all look back, can't we, when we were just absolutely clueless, not an idea of what the Lord was doing, even who he was. We can look back over our lives and think, you've kept me there, you've done this, you've brought me through that. And it's an incredible thing, isn't it? He knows our thoughts. He knows the hairs of our head. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. Does anyone know how many hairs the average head has? Anyone willing to take a guess? 100, thank you, yes, wow, yeah. 100,000. And God doesn't need to count them all. He knows, he just knows. Some poor soul has been given the task of trying to figure out how many hairs the average head has. But God, he knows us. In every detail, and this has been prayed earlier, every detail of our lives, he knows us. But there's something more than he just wants to know us, about us. He wants to know us in relationship. He wants this reciprocal knowledge of one another. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He knows all about you before you're even born. But he wants to know you in this deepest sense. And it's wonderful, isn't it? As we go on, verse 49. This is the moment when Nathanael has this revelation. It stirred something in Nathanael's heart, didn't it? His heart was ready. He was responsive. He was seeking. And these words from Jesus, I saw you, brought him to this place where he said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. The word of God, the word of Jesus broke through all of members' preconceived ideas. You know, how can the Lord come from Nazareth? And whatever else was going on in his mind, the Lord broke through it all with just these two phrases, these two sentences. He's gone from preconceived ideas and prejudice about the Messiah to this amazing comment, you are the Son of God. And it's quite a leap, isn't it? And you think, it's how long were they talking? We're missing some of the details, but it was so brief. And I believe the Lord loves early responders. What's like quick response from, I was going to say, first responders. Yeah, that's not right, is it? He loves them too. But like quick response. People who are like, oh yes, Lord. And you just grab hold of it right away. The truth. When the Lord speaks, you don't like, oh, I don't know about that. And you're kind of mulling it over and you analyze it, and men in particular maybe. But where you just say, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe. I'm going to jump. I'm going to step out in faith here. And these two comments that the Lord Jesus has made has completely transformed Nathanael's thinking. And then in verse 50, the Lord Jesus says, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? And it was almost like Jesus was surprised. That's not really good theology, I don't think, is it? The Lord, I don't know if you can be surprised, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, because you've responded so easily to that, just wait. Just wait what I'm going to do in your life and what you're going to see. But Jesus loves a quick response and full commitment in faith. Nathanael's response was full. There were many who couldn't do that, many of the Jewish people wouldn't have been able to do this because they was just so blinded, their hearts were hard, they weren't responsive, they weren't open. And Jesus says, you will see greater things than these. Jesus also said, to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. Nathanael has made this response, and as we do, when we make our response to the Lord, more will be added to you as you believe, as you go on. It's not like, okay, that's it, I've got it, I'm done. No, he's got more. The Lord has got more for you, he's got more for me. As we believe, the evidence of God, as we believe, the evidence of God grows, and we see him in more aspects of life. Have you experienced that? The more you go on, the more you believe him, the more you see him in different areas, in circumstances, in people, in nature. It's wonderful. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. You will see greater things than these. When I read that verse, it stirred faith in my heart, and I hope it does in yours. And we can think even in our own lives. Greater, what are these greater things? They can be chains that are broken in our lives. They can be addictions, they can be fears, anxieties, things that we have no control over, things that we've been enslaved in for all of our for most of our lives. Maybe healing from trauma. The Lord knows what's going on in each heart, doesn't he? Maybe it's joy. You can experience joy in the most difficult circumstances. To me, these are the greater things. You will see greater things in your life than what you've already experienced. He's wonderful, isn't he? You'll see fruit. And as I was reading it, I thought, Lord, keep me from small faith, from small thinking, if you like. We can think small in an earthly sense, can't we? But if we think about the Lord, it's our minds are expanded, our faith is expanded. Sometimes our physical eyes are saying, Lord, where are you? What's happening here? I don't understand this. But with our spiritual eyes, we can be absolutely assured that God is working, God is speaking, God is changing things in your lives, in the lives of people you love. And so much of it spiritually we don't see, do we? But we want the Lord to reveal it to us as we go on, as we believe. Nathanael saw greater things, obviously physically, because he had the Lord Jesus right there and he followed him. He saw healings, deliverance, all of these amazing things, people raised from the dead, but he also saw greater things spiritually. And if we're to understand that Nathanael is Bartholomew, he would have been at the Lord Jesus' ascension, wouldn't he? It says in verse 51, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. There's maybe different ways we can interpret that scripture. But to me, my mind went to when the Lord was taken back up into heaven. And then subsequently, Bartholomew, as we know him then, would have been in the upper room, wouldn't he? When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Verse 51, it says, you shall see heaven open. What a promise this would have been to Nathanael. He's gone from, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's gone from a doubting man to absolutely convinced, you are the Son of God. And now he's hearing this promise from the Lord, you're going to experience so much more. And I think there's such an encouragement in that progression of things. He saw Jesus going up into heaven. He saw the Holy Spirit coming down on the day of Pentecost. And what I like about this verse is the Lord Jesus says, most assuredly, it's like without doubt, definitely, This is a concrete promise. You will see the heavens open. And I think for some of us who've maybe struggled with, is the Lord going to do this in my life? Can he do this in my life? Absolutely, he can and he will. Most assuredly, you shall see heaven open. I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe there's a bit of doubt. Maybe I'm not sure where I am, not sure how I fit into all this. Do I know the Lord? Take these words, take hold of them, grab these words and believe them with all your heart. You shall see heaven opened. God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit into every believing heart. This is his desire. And just as we read through this, it's sometimes when you're getting ready to speak like this, I don't know if the other guys find this, but it's like, who's this to, Lord? Who am I speaking to? Are we speaking to the new believers, the unsaved, those who've been Christians a long time? But in a story like this, I feel like there's something for all of us at every stage. Early responses to the Lord, promises of God, going on, being filled, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Lord has just inspired my heart with this, and I trust he's doing the same for you. If his desire is to fill us, and our desire is to be filled, then we will see heaven opened, won't we? Amen. Thank you, Mark.